Welcome to Mentoring Deep at Gateway Church with Dr. Rob Brewer, a podcast devoted to helping people strengthen artistry in their leadership, their lives, and with the Lord. No matter your current place in life, the expertise of wise mentors can launch you into new heights of personal growth and ingenuity. And now, here's your host, Dr. Rob Brewer.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Well, it may be morning where you are. It is afternoon where I am right now. Welcome to episode 008, Mentoring Deep at Gateway Church. So good to have you here with us today, whether you are working in the yard, whether you are working out, running errands in your car, whatever you're doing today, it's really good to have you here with us. Man, the weather is absolutely beautiful in Texas right now. It is mid-February, but it feels like spring. I'm going to go home today. I'm going to work in my backyard. I'm going to mow tomorrow, and I am so excited. I love the feel of spring. It's fantastic. So it may not be spring where you are. It may be snowing where you are, and if that's the case, I am terribly, terribly sorry. Nevertheless, we're having a good time here. So again, episode 008, and that's really good news for us. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that most podcasts do not make it past episode 7. And here we are, one episode past 7, winning. We made it. Oh, wait, who's that with me? I'm hearing laughter. It is my guest today. Oh, and my goodness, I literally love my guest. Joining me today is our pastor that oversees Freedom Ministry at Gateway Church. It's Pastor Beth Helton. Hi, Beth. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Brewer.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
They love you. They love you. Oh, look at that.
That's hysterical.
You like that?
Yes.
Hey, we got to make it a little bit fun, right?
Okay, yes.
we work hard to make it fun. So we've had people talk about, how did you get so many people in your office? You know, we don't have that many people in the office. But welcome. It's so good to have you with us here at Mentoring Deep. I had to twist your arm to get here today, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Just a little bit.
Thank you. I hope I didn't guilt trip you too bad into getting here.
Well, your tears.
I see where this is going today. Yeah, I don't want to uncover you too much. I know you're a little bit nervous about today, but it's going to be really good. And great. I love you. And I know that by the end of today, people are going to love you as well.
And I love you. That's why I'm in this chair.
That's why you're in the chair right now. I know. You and I have a very good working relationship together. And we have since the day you came on staff. That was actually the first time I met you, is when you came on staff at Gateway. How long ago was that?
Right at 5 years.
You're at 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm just a tad over 7 years. And I remember when you came on, you came on into the Freedom Department, but you came on to the Freedom Department at another campus. Mm-hmm. In fact, you were one of our first hires at another campus that wasn't the main campus. You were at our Frisco campus, as I recall at the time. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so the whole experience, I don't know how much of that we'll get into today. I remember the whole experience just being chaotic as we were trying to figure that out. I bet you had a similar experience, and you might use other choice words to describe your experience during that process. So as a reminder to all of those that are listening today, what we want to do is talk to the pastors at Gateway Church about how they lead in their areas, how they live their lives away from Gateway Church, and how they love the Lord. And I'm going to ask you questions the way that a good protege would ask of their mentor. So we may get into some personal things, but it's because I want to know how if I have those kinds of personal things, how would I learn from you to live in that environment? So the best place to begin is always talking about how you lead in your area. That seems to be the safest, and it's clearly one of the areas that people are most interested in. So you, as I mentioned, you oversee our Freedom area, and I will say that Freedom is perhaps one of the more weighty and substantive areas of Gateway Church. And it is the area that is asked for the most from outside of Gateway in terms of how do you do this, right? So if I was to lead an environment like that, something so weighty, something so substantive, and something with such great demand, what would you say is probably the most important leadership characteristic I would need to bring to that?
This may not make sense, but I would say fun.
Okay.
I mean, yes, it's a very serious department in big demand.
Right.
But just think about the title. We're the freedom department.
Right.
What department ought to have the most joy and freedom?
Yeah, right.
You know, it should be us.
Sure.
We're helping people. So I like to bring fun. I like to have people laughing in the hallway. In fact, I got shushed in my first 30 minutes after I joined the South Lake team.
Did you really?
I hold the record.
Yes. 30 minutes, huh?
30 minutes. I was laughing too loudly. They'd came out enough. And shushed me in the hallway. So I may have had some help from my also dear friend Larry Brown, who's also quite loud and likes to laugh. I do feel like we changed the culture in the ministry center.
Sure.
Where it's a lot more lighthearted.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second so that everybody knows the difference. Right now, we are in the main administrative offices of Gateway. That's where my office is located. But we have, I don't know how many, but it's got to be close to a dozen other buildings that house staff members across the entirety of Gateway Church. So you're in what's called the Ministry Center, okay? Mm-hmm. So what makes that environment different than where we are right now?
Well, I think mostly people come to us because they need help.
Okay.
And it could be financial assistance. It could be stewardship, or it could be freedom.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people come in nervous and or in pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are tears that happen in offices, but by the same token, when I meet with someone in my office, I always tell them, hey, it might get a little loud in the hallway. We're just going to ignore that.
Yeah.
We'll just focus on what we're doing in here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love leading the Freedom Team.
Yeah.
And you ask how I lead. And I think the best way for me to answer that is I lead just like the degree I got into college.
Right.
Which was to be a coach.
Okay. So you didn't go to Bible college.
Nope.
You were a coach, like in school,
yes,
right?
I went to Oklahoma State University.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry about that.
Go Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. You're looking at my Aggie stuff right now on the wall, aren't you?
Trying to think a little orange would make that look better.
Yeah, it would make this office incredibly tacky. Incredibly tacky. No, no. In fact, we are big fans of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I'm married an Aggie. But, so we're a divided house.
That is such good news. You got to give the Aggies a hand, right? Because they need all the help they can get.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk a second about your team. How many people are on the Freedom Team?
I think we have 13.
13 people. So you're leading a weighty, substantive area with 13 people. You want to lead them with fun. What do your day-to-day leading activities look like?
Fun and passion.
Okay.
So my leading activities would look like I'm trying to get the right people into the right place, how they're gifted, what they're good at, what brings them joy and brings them life. And make sure, like, we have moved some responsibilities around, move some team members around.
Happens all the time.
And trying to help them get in their sweet spot.
Right.
Where they really like it. Right. So I try to listen to my team, trying to figure out what they're gifted at, what they would enjoy doing, and what we need.
Yeah.
So
as you're listening to them, what are you listening for?
Passion.
Okay. So you want to hear what comes out of them that almost if you would poke them, it would just come out anyway. That's what you're listening for?
Yes.
Okay. What does that sound like in your ears?
Well, generally when someone starts talking about something they like, they sit up.
Okay.
They get more animated.
Yeah.
you know, you're not just getting a report.
Right.
They're actually excited to tell you what happened with the teenagers in Teen Kairos.
Okay.
Or something. And or they're talking about teenagers and how they love. And I'm like, so I need this person probably to work in Teen Kairos.
Right.
Or, you know, you're just listening.
Okay.
I think every one of my team members is different.
Yeah.
I have to relate to them differently. Some people may just need to see me once a week.
Yeah.
How you doing? Great. Other team members need a everyday, hey, how are you doing? All that. Yeah. So it's just learning how each team member is wired, what motivates them, right. what, you know.
How are you able to determine the difference between what team members need? Like, how do you, do you instinctively know that, or are they telling you, I need more time, or what is it you're reading that says, this person needs more connection with me?
Well, it usually starts with, what do you need from me?
Okay.
You know, I'm not afraid to ask team members, what do you need from me? Am I giving you what you need from me?
Yeah.
Or it could be my assistant as I'm blowing past her.
Yeah.
Her saying, stop, wait. I might actually pick up that she might need to talk to me.
Would you say that question, what do you need from me, is one of your more powerful leadership questions?
I think it's a valuable question.
Okay.
Yes. Probably the most powerful is asking them how they're doing.
Ah, okay. Do you do that often?
I hope so.
Yeah. And what are you looking for in their answers there?
Not a surface answer.
Okay.
I want them to just tell me the truth.
And if you feel like you're getting a surface answer, what do?
Ask another question.
Okay.
How are you really doing?
Okay. So you kind of turn the tables on them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do, I'm assuming after a while they understand that you're looking for more than superficiality.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start. You know, when you ask, how are you?
Well, we are the freedom department, right. So we are taught to be honest.
Yeah, sure.
So I do think we have a good department that operates with a pretty high level of vulnerability.
Okay.
I do. And we're growing together. I've only been in this role, the summer? I think that's when I took over.
Right, but you've been in the freedom department.
5 years.
Yeah, since your time at Gateway. So it's not like the culture of the Freedom Department or the expertise of the Freedom Department is new to you.
Right.
But the leadership of it is. So in a sense, you're still trying to get your own leadership legs underneath you. Is that fair?
Yes.
How has that experience been for you?
Well, it's been great for me.
Okay.
I got a promotion and really am excited to develop the team. But I'm... In our team meeting, like when I met with the whole team, I'm real candid.
Sure.
I told you I went to school to get a coaching degree.
Yeah.
And when there's a coaching change, it doesn't all go completely as scripted. So I told them that some of them may be sensing a new season, a transition.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. We've had people transition on and off our team, and mm-hmm. I bless their coming and bless their going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I may not be wired up as somebody mm-hmm. that they relate to or would enjoy working for, and that is great. That's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. I want to help them find a place where they'll be happy, their gifts will be utilized. Mm-hmm. So I've been very candid in team meetings to say those things overtly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sensing transition, let's talk about it. You know, if
I'm
glad you're all here.
Mm-hmm.
But please don't feel guilty if you feel like maybe there's a change coming.
Yeah. So in your 5 minutes of leading this area, what's been the hardest leadership activity you've had to do so far?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe just some difficult conversations where I made the decision. You had multiple people that wanted the same position. And making the call that this person got it instead of this one.
Yeah.
And explaining why.
Yeah.
The reasonings, knowing I was hurting them or knowing that they were disappointed. That's been hard.
Yeah. Hiring is not my favorite thing to do because I get to make one happy phone call and then you know, usually a dozen unhappy phone calls. Mm-hmm. So it's, it's fun to make that one happy phone call, but then you gotta call those other 12 people that you interviewed, and you've got to say, listen, it just didn't work out. And sometimes there's not a real tangible reason that you can give them. If you would have done this differently, then it would have been different. When you've got to face that intangibility, you just got that sense. How do you tell them no in that moment? How do you communicate that?
Probably not as well as you do.
Nah, stop.
That's hard.
It is hard.
You just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've made this decision.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that it hurt you.
Yeah. So if they say, well, why? What could I do differently next time?
Maybe pay me more money.
Yeah. No. No, don't do that. No. Don't do that.
You know, usually you said the word intangible. Usually it's hard to explain.
It really is.
You just had a connection with someone
else.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
Or you felt like God, you know, really told you the other person.
Yeah.
And it's not that the person you didn't give the job to was less qualified.
Yeah.
Or wanted it any less. Sometimes you just really can't say this one thing cost you this position.
So on something like that, how do you feel about ascribing the no to God? Like, you know, how do you feel about that?
The God card.
Yeah.
Once you play the God card, there's nowhere else you can go about that, right?
Right.
Yeah. I usually will put it off more on me.
Yeah.
I just felt.
Yeah.
I don't want to mad at God.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. And that is difficult to nail down, you know, that well, unless the Lord Jesus actually appeared in your room and left a note on your desk, you know, it really is about, this is what I feel, this is what I think I'm hearing. And there has to be room for error.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than putting the error on God, the error's got to be on you, right? It's possible I've misheard, but based on the best understanding I have of the situation, this is the direction I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a fun thing. I never like doing that.
Me either.
Yeah. So you also have an enormous amount of outside churches reaching out that want to do what we're doing. And it again, it's one of the most exported areas of Gateway Church. How do you handle the demand from outside of Gateway?
Well, I think we could travel every week to a different church. And because of that, we do get a lot of requests. I do like that we actually give an opportunity twice a year for outside churches to come to Gateway.
Right.
And we spend Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 with them, just telling them exactly what we do.
Yeah. Now, for people that may be interested in what you just said there, talk a little bit about that. When are those two times in the year?
Usually following the August Kairos and the spring Kairos, which this spring it would be. The training is April 11th through the 14th.
Okay. And what is it called?
Week-long freedom training.
Week-long freedom training. And if someone's interested in that, what could they do?
Go to freedom.gatewaypeople.com, and it should be on there. The link is live and they can register.
Okay. Do they have to go to Kairos before?
It's helpful.
Okay.
And there is a Kairos right before it each time.
Yeah.
They will have more of a grid of understanding if they will take the time to go through Kairos.
Okay.
And most of what we're saying will make more sense,
sure.
But it's not a requirement.
Are there any other prerequisites to attend that?
Nope.
So not even the basic freedom classes?
Everything was strongly suggested, but for people that just say, we want to know about freedom, that's the best thing, because we do explain everything we do during that week, and we give them hands-on participation, so it's not just head knowledge.
Yeah.
They get to participate, do it as well, and we do demonstrations for them as well.
How often do you find yourself having to say no to outside ministry opportunities like that?
Frequently.
Frequently, yeah. How do you do that? How do you say no?
I say, Rob Brewer told me that I couldn't come.
No. Oh, you put it on me? Okay, well, that's fine.
I would go.
Just put
but
the doctor
Rob
in front.
Said,
you know, it gives
Dr.
A little...
Rob, Dr. Brewer said.
Yeah, and they go, who? Who's that?
it is hard. We do travel sometimes.
Yeah.
But we just can't, you know, we're paid by Gateway.
Yeah.
So we do have to give attention to the people here at Gateway.
Right. And you said that you've been in this role for, I think you said 5 months. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 5 to 6 months. So yes, about half a year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been an enormous amount of transition in this area over the last, in our Freedom area over the last 24 months.
Yes.
A lot of upheaval there. And it's a very, very special place at Gateway Church. Not only because of just its demand, but because so many people have experienced Jesus in a whole new way through what we do in Freedom. So any upheaval there, it feels very, very personal. What kinds of leadership have you had to engage in helping people maneuver through that?
Hmm. Well, first I had to maneuver through it.
Mm.
So I had to do that first. And
what did that look like for you?
Tears.
Mm.
A lot of tears.
Yeah.
A lot of maybe unpacking that with trusted friends.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, being real with God and real with other people about my emotions. And, you know, relationship change is hard.
Yeah.
And it's generally messy.
Yeah.
And those hurt. But yet, hanging on to just God speaking to me and giving me words and hanging on to those in the tumultuous times. And I felt like I had to come to a place of being relatively healthy regard to those, and then helping people in my sphere of influence.
Yeah.
I came to South Lake and wasn't over Freedom Ministry. I worked with Josh Morris. Love him.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
But I did have a small team under me,
mm-hmm.
and I took responsibility for them and met with each one of them personally and asked those hard questions and quite frankly said, I want you to see a professional counselor to some of them, or, you know, who on Gateway staff would you feel comfortable going and unpacking this with?
So you think it's okay for a minister to go see a professional counselor if they need to?
Definitely.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about that. There may be a number of people listening to us that aren't sure what to do with what you just said there. So if I needed that, what would I do?
Right. Well, and it could have a stigma attached to it. Oh, you're so weak, you need to go to a counselor. But to me, some of the strongest people are the ones that admit their weakness.
Yeah.
And we're in the people business, and we give out. And if we don't have someone giving back to us and pouring into us, and sometimes maybe you can't go to a peer or you can't go to a colleague.
Yeah.
So pay someone and just unload your deepest, darkest secret, or just unload, I don't know what's going on with me.
Yeah.
I think I need help and I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
And let someone ask you the hard questions.
Mm.
Go to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it. Okay. If you're listening and you're thinking you might want, you are worth the investment.
Mm.
You are worth spending money and finding a great counselor and investing in your own soul.
Oh, I love that.
So
yeah,
and I'm pro counselors.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we help a lot of people, but I'll go see a counselor if I need to and have in the past and encourage other people to follow suit.
Do you think going to see a local pastor is the same thing as going to see a counselor?
I think it could be.
Okay.
If that pastor will listen and I also think it's important to see a counselor that knows how to connect you to the voice of God.
Ah, I love that.
You know, so I wouldn't recommend seeing some counselors.
Sure.
If it's all just head knowledge.
Right.
But if they'll turn that session and connect you to the voice of God.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that, which I would segue. I think a local pastor could do that just as easily.
Okay. Let's just due to time constraints, I feel like I could kind of hang in this area on your leadership and in this really critical area for a long time, but just so that we're able to cover the other questions and for time's sake, let's step into the next section, which is who you are away from Gateway Church.
Mm-hmm.
So like, do you have any hobbies?
Oh yeah. Hunting.
Hunting?
Yeah, I'm really
You're a
into
hunter?
Hunting. Yes,
like,
I am.
What weapon do you
well,
use?
Well, okay, an American Express.
Oh, no, you did not.
I did. Well, it's a sport. You know, I think hunting is really, it's called shopping by some.
Oh, but
it's
no.
Like, yeah. It's shopping for women.
Okay. So you like to hit the malls or what is that?
Well, it depends. I like to hit the sales.
Okay, the sales.
That makes it a hunt.
What is it about this hobby that offers you satisfaction that you can't get elsewhere?
Okay, the thrill of victory.
Oh, like, okay.
Like, you know, this shirt used to cost $40 and I just got it for $5. There's nothing better than that.
So it's not necessarily the product.
It's the thrill.
It's the price.
Thrill of the hunt.
Ah,
and the victory.
Okay. Okay. So how often do you do that?
Oh, not as often as you may think, but occasionally.
Okay.
And I like to go by myself.
Okay. So this is not a group activity for you?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
So I've had some people that utilize their hobby to kind of engage with God. Do you find that true for you, or is this just Beth?
This purely Beth.
Okay. And that's okay too, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yeah. Yep. There's nothing wrong with doing a hobby that doesn't actually.
Right. And I don't have time to practice my hobby much because I have a full-time job and a family.
Okay. So, a full-time job and a family. We've talked about the job a little bit. Talk to me about the family.
Okay. I have a husband named Dale, who unfortunately is a Texas A&M graduate as well.
I don't understand what's unfortunate about that. He's from where again? Where?
I can't say Texas A&M. Yeah.
It's anytime you say Aggie, it goes off. I can't control it. Yeah. So he's from A&M. So you've got an OSU gal with an Aggie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But I do like your kissing tradition. Like I when
okay, hold on. Hold on. You need to clarify that because you just said you pointed at me.
Well, okay, Texas A&M. Like when Oklahoma State scores in football, everyone in the stands waves.
Right, right.
You guys kiss.
Yeah. So it's important to clarify that I myself, Rob Brewer, I do not have a kissing tradition, right? You're not saying that.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah. And it, to the extent that I do, it is with my wife.
Right.
You're not outside of that. Yes. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yes, but you're right. At A&M, when the Aggies score a touchdown, so do you.
So now I wave, and then I run over to my husband and kiss him. So I've incorporated some Aggie tradition.
That's not actually right. Well. You know, you're like a two percenter. You know, you're not fully engaged in the culture.
Okay.
Okay. So you have a husband who's an Aggie grad. Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter named Macy, who's adopted from China.
Whoa. Okay. So you have adopted a daughter from China. Clearly, that has been a major impact in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best souvenir I ever brought home from a trip.
Okay. That is not even right. That is not even right. Now, I know you, and I know that's not how you feel about your daughter, some souvenir you brought her. She's incredibly special to you.
No matter what I accomplish in life, probably rescuing that child from China and bringing her here and knowing we forever changed her destiny will go down as my greatest accomplishment.
What led you to that decision? Let's adopt a child. How does a person come to that decision?
You have a pushy best friend
who
says, "We're adopting from China and so are you."
So it's like a group effort.
Yes.
Okay.
So my friend Tina just basically
That almost
told
sounds
me.
Like the shopping thing that you just talked about.
Well, she's a good partner in that too. So she adopted from China and about 6 months later we did as well.
Oh my goodness. Now, did beyond just being a friend, did you have a friend influencing you? Did you have a desire before that conversation to adopt?
Yes. I didn't get married till I was older in life. And when my husband and I were dating, he asked me if I wanted to have children. I kind of laughed and said, "Well, I'm not sure I want to have my own at this point because I was in my 30s. I said, "But it's always been in my heart to adopt."
Oh, wow. And so, why did you want to adopt?
I'm not sure why. I think maybe because my mother played with the idea when I was a kid.
Yeah.
and hearing her talk about these children and her wanting to do that. And unfortunately, my father didn't really buy into that. Mm-hmm. I have an older brother. He wanted the perfect child, obviously messed with my older brother that got it in me. Mm-hmm. That's a joke.
I didn't get it.
Anyway, I think she probably planted that seed in me.
And what has adoption taught you that you don't think you would have learned anywhere else?
Oh, how much God loves me. Mm. You know, you read that we're adopted and we are his sons and daughters.
Yeah.
But, you know, I took someone who I did not give birth to.
Yeah.
Who has beautiful olive colored skin and mm-hmm. slanty little eyes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think she's so much a part of me.
Yeah.
I couldn't love her more. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful I had that. And, you know, every time when I look at her, I feel like God is saying, that's how I feel about you.
Yeah.
Even more.
So she's not of your DNA, but there is that connection as if she is.
Yes. My husband used to joke and said, she's your little clone. Because we have same temperament, mm-hmm. She's your clone, which I thought was really cute. And then I realized he did it when she would act up. You know? So I'm like, maybe that's not funny after all. And I will say her temperament, her little personality, but yet she's a girly girl off the scale.
Yeah.
And one reason I go hunting is because of her, because she loves... She didn't even know what to call them when she was a little thing. She would want bump shoes.
Bump shoes?
Bump shoes. And I'm like, what in the world is she talking about? Until finally she grabbed a set of high heels. She wanted bump shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
So if she could dress the way she wanted, she would wear a pair of high heels and a dress to school every day.
Oh, my goodness.
But she has PE, so I don't let her do
that. You don't let her do that? No. Yeah. Yeah. So what has been one of your biggest challenges as an adopted mom?
I think most adopted children may have some sort of challenge. Mm-hmm. And with her, she had a little abandonment issue. Mm. She never wanted to be alone, would try to sneak in our bedroom every night. Yeah. And just wanting to fill that hole in her heart mm-hmm. for her that only God can fill. Mm-hmm. And so that's been it. And of course, people say things.
Yeah.
Just inadvertently.
Yeah.
Just maybe unkind things or whatever. But
to you or to her?
But both.
Okay.
Actually.
What kinds of things?
Well, you're going to make me tell on myself, but I'm an older mom, so I've been with her numerous times. People are like, oh, you're shopping with grandma? And my daughter, who's grandma?
Oh, no.
Who's grandma? And I'm like trying to disappear, and the clerk, you know, points to me, and, you know, my daughter goes, oh, that's mommy.
Oh, my goodness. So how do you handle that with her?
Oh, she, you know, it doesn't affect her. Like, she doesn't realize age thing, whatever.
Yeah.
But just things like that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've seen her hand in yours mm-hmm. you know, around church, and she loves you mm-hmm. very, very much. So whether she's adopted or not, it from my perspective, certainly appears like she feels like she is fully paid for mm-hmm. And fully in your family. So you've clearly done a great job.
Thank you. As a
mom that you've been able to do that, bring her into the family.
She's a great little girl.
She is indeed. So you mentioned earlier, and as we move into our third section here, you mentioned earlier that it would be good sometimes for people to go see a counselor that mm-hmm. can help them connect with God's voice. So let's talk about that for a second. What do you mean connecting with God's voice? Let's just start with that question. What do you mean connecting with God's voice?
Just hearing him.
Okay.
Whether that's through a picture he gives you in your head or a scripture.
Okay.
Any way, maybe even, you know, some people are wired up, they actually feel warm or something like that.
Yeah. What about you? How do you hear God?
I see pictures in my head.
Okay.
You know, mostly.
What is something he's spoken to you in the last 6 months that has been incredibly powerful for you?
Mm.
A picture he's given you.
Okay, some of them are really personal, so I'm trying to think of, you know, there was honestly a really stressful time when I'm like, we do something in Freedom called a personal ministry session where you just sit down and engage with God. And I was feeling stressed out and dealing with some things in my own heart. And so I thought, well, I'll just have God do a personal ministry session on me. And I sat down in my family room and it was just crazy. What he kind of course, I have a vivid imagination. Mm. So when I see pictures in my head, they're just very vivid. Mm-hmm. I felt like God told me I just needed to chill out and have a little fun. I mean, okay. He just told me, relax.
Yeah.
Relax. Will you just trust me? Relax. And he just kind of let me ride a rainbow, if that makes sense.
Ride a rainbow.
I had pictures of rainbows, and I just, you know, started kind of zooming on them. It was really very powerful. And I know it sounds silly, but that's what.
No, it was meaningful to you.
I'm sure everyone
that's listening right now is laughing. I'm not laughing right now.
But, you know, he just reminds me simple things like I'm his child. You know, we make it too complicated, I think, sometimes. And sometimes we just got to be reminded, would you just relax and trust me? Mm. And just, you know, laugh a little bit, have some fun. And, you know, the fact that I wasn't crying and feeling like a, you know, I disappointed him or something, because I really felt, well, maybe I've got something in my heart I need to deal with, whatever. And he was just like, you're just not trusting me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I just said, oh, okay, you're right. I'm not. I do now. And it was the shortest ministry session probably, but he spoke very clearly to me.
So you hear God through pictures. How do you help other people learn to hear God's voice?
Mm. Well, the ones that see pictures are easier.
Sure.
You know, like when people come in and meet with me, let's say we're going to do a personal ministry session, I just flat out tell them, you cannot mess this up. You can't mess this up. Mm-hmm. God wants to talk to you. You know, it's not a trick to learn how to hear God's voice. He wants to speak to us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't mess this up. He's going to talk to you. I hope by saying that I kind of raise their faith level up. Mm-hmm. And then I just usually say, let's invite Jesus to come and take you to a safe place. Just get a, you know, I do ask him, kind of get a picture in your head where Jesus wants to talk to you.
Right.
And usually almost everybody can get there.
Yeah.
They've just heard him.
Yeah.
Whether it's a picture, I'm like, tell me what you see. Tell me where Jesus took you. Mm-hmm. And they may say, we're sitting in our family room and there's a fire. Ask Jesus why he took you there. Mm. You know, some people go to the beach, some are in the mountains. Yeah. But I really do think Jesus, he will tell them, I took you here because, you know, different reasons.
Yeah. Wow. So if I wanted to begin helping people hear God's voice, what do you think is the most important trait that I need to have mastered before I can do that?
Nothing. I think you can do. Well, here's this. You can ask people this question. Do you ever hear the enemy talking to you? Mm. Do you ever hear negative thoughts about yourself in your head? Unanimously, people go, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you clearly hear God? And they may say, well, we put, do you understand what we just did? We put so much confidence in our ability to hear the enemy in our heads and very little. And the exact opposite, God desperately wants to communicate to his children that he loves them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some of it is he's talking to us all the time.
Yeah.
It's not a booming voice from heaven. It's just that still small voice. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You're not alone. And I've never audibly heard God speak to me, but he speaks to me all constantly just in my heart, just little things.
What does your devotional time look like?
Okay, it might be a disappointment. Like, I don't have a set book that I'm reading, unless it's, of course, the Gateway devotional.
Right, no.
Of course it's
Right, yeah.
That's a given.
Right. any Pastor Robert Morris book.
Any, right. Yes. Right.
Sure.
Well, it was probably more rigid before I went through Freedom Ministries, but I just may be in a certain book. Maybe it's Isaiah.
Okay.
Or the Psalms or somewhere, or Ephesians. I love Ephesians.
Yeah.
And I may just go up there. I may just read two verses.
Yeah.
And I love to go out on my back porch. We have a big patio, outdoor kitchen. It's mm-hmm. very nice. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, I think, lives there sometimes.
You know, okay, maybe you I need just, to come over there.
Yeah, you can anytime. It's just, I can just sit. Sometimes I may just sit there in silence.
Yeah.
And that may disappoint some people listening.
Yeah.
Like, I might not even pray. I may just enjoy sitting in the presence of God.
Hmm.
And just, I just breathe.
Hmm.
You know? You're a good God. You know? And I feel Him with me. I feel His presence. And I just abide, if that makes sense. It makes sense to me, but I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. It's just being with Him. Like, I can be with you, and we probably wouldn't have to talk all the time.
No, that's true.
You know, you're just hanging out with someone you enjoy being with. That's what I can be with my husband for hours.
Yeah.
And we don't talk. Sometimes I may talk. Yeah. I may pray, and I may listen, but there's times I just sit.
Yeah.
And I get still.
Yeah.
I stop, and I just abide. I just sit, breathe.
Yeah, you say that, and I'm thinking about how often I just like my wife in the room with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to be engaged in any conversation or dealing with any situation, but I can be on my computer working, and she can be watching a TV show, and I'm happy mm-hmm. because she's in the room with mm-hmm. me, and it is disconcerting to me when she's not. I don't like it when she's not. Mm-hmm. You suppose that's the same way with us and God?
Yes.
Yeah. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to talk. Just be. Just be. Maybe right now in the car, people could kind of pause
mm-hmm.
and just be, even as they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
Well, we're just about out of time. I'm really glad you came out today, and I just have one more question for you.
Okay.
Do you have any other thoughts that mm-hmm. you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Hmm. Do you think they understand, like, what freedom is?
Do I think that?
Well, it's not a common term to say I'm pastor of Freedom Ministries.
Okay.
So I'd just like to explain that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think our Freedom Ministries is a deliverance ministry mm-hmm. or a discipleship ministry as much as I believe it's identity ministry.
Mm.
I really
think. What does that mean?
It's we just help people discover who they are in Christ.
Okay.
And maybe they struggle with some lies they believed
mm-hmm.
that the enemies told them. They mm-hmm. believe about God, they believe mm-hmm. about other people, or they believe about themselves. Or it could be a wound from the past.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think time heals everything and it doesn't heal anything.
Mm-hmm.
They could be struggling with just life patterns, the way we're raised, the way we're brought up,
mm-hmm.
the situations that affected us growing up. Or it could be potentially demonic.
Mm.
But so we deal with all of those. But ultimately, I think Freedom Ministries is an identity ministry, helping people discover who God created and redeemed them mm-hmm. to be. And there's nothing scary or weird about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the culture that, quite frankly, Pastor Robert has established here mm-hmm. where it's okay to not be okay,
mm-hmm.
where it's safe to be a mess here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe to hide.
Yeah.
It's not safe to pretend like you're perfect and got it all together.
Mm-hmm.
None of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to help people just navigate that and realize that God wants to talk to them about every one of those issues.
I love that. And I love what you do at Gateway Church. Mm-hmm. I love how you lead that Freedom Ministry team. And it is such a critical part of who we are, our culture, and our identity mm-hmm. Here at Gateway Church. And you do such an amazing job leading them. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Rob.
Thank you for being my friend in that process, too.
Thank you for being my friend.
It's been great to have you with us on Mentoring Deep today. God
Thanks.
Bless you. All right, that's it. Episode 008 is in the books. I'm glad that you were here with us. As a reminder, we have a few events coming up at Gateway Church you might want to be a part of. Peak Conference is still available. I can't remember exactly where they're meeting. I know it's not here at the church. Do you remember where it is?
Pink?
Yeah, the Pink Conference.
It's downtown Fort Worth Convention Center.
That's right. Downtown Fort Worth Convention Center. So if you are interested, I've been hearing some info on the radio about them recently, so I'm assuming they still have space that's available. You can go to gatewaypeople.com and register for that. Also, the men's conference is coming up as well. Be sure to go to gatewaypeople.com and sign up for that. Please stop by iTunes and leave us a comment on Mentoring Deep. Let us know how we're impacting your life. And until next time, don't forget to find a mentor, be a mentor, and grow deep. See you soon.